Hey, a hearty welcome to you. You are listening to Practical Living right here on your practical station, Adventist World Radio. I'm your host for today, Dumisani Mfune. I'll be with you for the next 30 or so minutes. How has your Monday been so far? Mine's been great. Mine has been good. You know, God is alive and working. He takes care of us. He gives us fresh air to breathe, family to love, and family to love us. There's so much He does. Anyway, today we're going to be talking to parents. And now that I am a parent with a two-year-old, I listen to all the parenting advice that I can get. So we've got stuff for parents today. But we'll also hear from Dr. Paul Charles, a very, very interesting individual, full of jokes and full of humor, but with a lot to say. So before we get to that, parents, this is your time, and we have Dr. Mfune who will be addressing us. So be blessed.
In 1975, I was at Salus University in Zimbabwe, pursuing my degree in theology. I remember one Sabbath afternoon when we went out as a group for a walk. Salus is surrounded by beautiful flora and fauna. As we walked through this forest, admiring God's nature, we suddenly came to a clearing. There was an anthill ahead of us. As we walked towards the anthill, someone in the group motioned us to stop. We all did. His eyes were focused on something which was behind the anthill. After a short time, there was great excitement amongst my friends. Unfortunately, my stature did not afford me the opportunity to enjoy what excited my friends. And one of them, sensing that I was not seeing what they were seeing, bent down to my level and tried to see. He discovered that from my level, I could not see the beauty they were enjoying. He lifted me up to show me what was behind the anthill. There were two antelopes grazing lazily. When the other friends saw us, they began to laugh, and the antelopes galloped away. We are discussing the Ten Commandments for parenting. These commandments are based on the principles of the Ten Commandments of the Bible. You shall have no other interest before your children is the first one. One way to achieve this is to not only be where the action is, that is, to be with your children, but be willing to be childlike after the manner of your children, so that your children can later become grown-up men and women after your manner. When your children are playing hide and seek, play with them. If they are cooking using mud, join them. Come down to their level. See things from their level. Many times parents assume children see things the way they do, and this assumption is wrong. Some years ago, I saw a movie entitled Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves. In this fiction movie, some scientific experiment goes wrong, and the parents are shrunk. They become so small that you cannot even see them as they walk on the lawn. From that perspective, everything is different. Things they took for granted have now become serious challenges. In my solution story, my point is, that when my friend came down to my level, he discovered that I could not see what the others were seeing. If parents come down to the level of their children, it will help them understand their children. This is exactly what Jesus did. He came down to our level in order to take us up. Being where the action is also helps you to better understand the issues your children are facing. Hence, it will help you customize solutions based on the existing problems. You become a practical and not a theoretical parent. You'll be scratching where it itches. I once read of an experiment done with rats. In the one group, the rats were touched frequently, and in the other, the rats were ignored. When the rats which were touched frequently were dropped from a certain height, they just bounced and scampered away. But when the rats which were ignored were dropped from the same height, they died. Parents, take time to be with your children. Do your best there for your children. This will give them to grow in confident and capable adults like you. You can read more about these important issues from my book, Parenting for Heaven.
That was Dr. Mfune sharing words of wisdom to all of us parents. And if you are expecting a bundle of joy, it's never too late to start preparing to be a parent. So I pray that these programs will be useful for you as well. If you would like to get a copy of the book that Dr. Mfune keeps talking about, email or write to us and I'll let you know how you can have a copy of that and then prepare your children for heaven. Later on in the program, I'll give you the email address you can use as well as the postal address that you can use. It is important that as parents, we set a good example for our children. It's important we interact with them. We teach them how to interact with other people. You know, this new craze of social networking sites and internet on your cell phone, it's sort of creating another problem in that people are kind of losing the ability to socialize well. So as parents, we have that added responsibility. And sometimes it's difficult because as parents, we may make, you know, bad choices. After all, we're only human and we may develop bad habits and we may bring children into this world and yet we're struggling with bad habits. If you've grown up in a home where your parents abused alcohol, then you would know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, coming up next is Dr. Paul Charles. He has an incredible story. He went through a really, really difficult situation that, ordinarily speaking, should have put him on a certain path. But he's going to tell us how he was able to overcome his background and be who he is. So coming up next is Dr. Paul Charles. Everybody has a story to tell. And here to tell their story today is Dr. Paul Charles. Welcome.
Thank you, Dumi. I'm so happy to be invited.
Tell us a little of your background, where you're from.
Oh, Dumi, I'm from a place that is so small, I can bet that even if I tell you, you'd not be able to find it on the map. It's called Fraser's. It's a tiny village in the north coast of Durban in South Africa.
Fraser's?
Yeah.
Okay, you'll be surprised. I probably know exactly where it is. In Durban.
Yeah.
Well, at least Durban I know.
No, I'm only mentioning Durban to make phrases sound important. It's not in Durban. It's quite far away from Durban.
Oh, so yeah. Durban is the nearest place to it?
The nearest big city.
Okay. And is that where you did your primary and secondary education?
Oh, that's a question now, right? I did not really do my primary and secondary schooling in Fraser's. I maybe went to school in Fraser's 1 year. In fact, in my schooling career, just up to high school, I attended 13 different schools. So you can imagine.
That's almost each grade.
Yeah.
Different school.
Yeah. I stayed in each school for just maybe a year and a month. I've been all over in different schools.
So why were you moving around so much?
The reason why I was moved around is because my parents were alcoholics, both of them. And so because of that, I used to stay with different people all the time. Eventually, I was removed together with my sisters and brothers, and we were placed in a children's home. So because I lived most of my life in institutions, that's why I attended so many different schools.
Oh, okay. So secondary as well, you matriculated in the KwaZulu-Natal area?
Yes, in the KwaZulu-Natal area, but not in Fraser's.
Not in Fraser's.
Yeah.
So you were finally away from Fraser's.
Yeah, it was not by choice. We were forced to leave Fraser's because the police with social workers came and took us from there when they first placed us in the children's home.
So that really must have had an impact on you, you know, having your parents with that difficulty.
Yes, definitely. My parents were alcoholics, and the amazing thing is that I was not really abused by my parents, if you know, someone might have that question in their mind. But they loved me, but I think that because of their problem with alcohol, they did not know how to express that love. They were experiencing serious challenges. I'm not saying this to make an excuse for their alcoholism, but I'm trying to understand that I don't believe they did not love us. I just believe they did not know how to express that love to us.
Mm. I'm very surprised that you are not an alcoholic yourself, because statistically, someone in that environment, especially with both parents, are more prone to going that direction.
Yeah, you are very right. My wife is a psychologist, and she says that statistically she agrees with you that if your grandparents were alcoholics and your parents were alcoholics, in all probability, you too will end up an alcoholic. I'm not an alcoholic, and I don't like alcohol simply because I've seen what it has done to my parents and my family, and I see it today also what it does to so many different homes and lives. But the reason why this genetic code, if you want to put it in that way, has been broken, the reason why I am free from bearing the brunt of alcoholism in my life is not because of some wise thinking on my part. It's simply because of the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus has the power to break cycles that has been in families for generations. And I believe that through his power, he has broken the cycle in my family, and that's how I am free today. So how come I was able not to be tainted by the alcoholism of my parents? I want to very clearly state that it's only because of the grace of God and his power in our lives.
Amazing. So were you brought up believing in God then?
Yes, I was brought up believing in God.
So even in that environment, you would still attend church?
I attended church when I could attend the church, but I believe that God was watching over us. You know, there were times when we were chased from home and we would sleep in a sugarcane field through cold winter's night. But even in those moments, I knew that God was watching over us. So, yes, I knew about God right from that age. But did I fully commit to him during those times? I don't think so.
When would you say was the time when you decided to fully commit to God?
I was living in a youth center, right? This youth center was an institution for delinquent boys.
Uh-oh.
Right? So I was one of those boys. But the lady who used to take care of us in the place, she was a Seventh-day Adventist. She was an amazing woman. She took us to church and she taught us about God. She created in us a love for God and for His Word.
So she took all the boys at that center?
Not all the boys. It was not compulsory for us to go.
Okay.
She invited us. And there were a group of us who attended the Seventh-day Adventist church with her. The amazing thing about this woman is that I could see in her life that God had changed her. And because of what God has done to her and was doing through her, I began to love this God. And then I began to study God's word with her. And today I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, and I love being a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I owe it all to this one single woman whom I believe God used to bring me into this church. And today I'm a minister of the gospel.
Wow.
Because of this woman. She told me, at that tender age, I was baptized at the age of 15. But when I was around 14, 15 years old, this lady told me, "Paul, God is calling you to be a pastor." And she told me that one day I will be a pastor. Today I am a minister of the gospel because of this woman. Coincidentally, if you will allow me to just say this, mm-hmm. The day I entered that institution is the day that she was employed. So we both entered the institution together. The day that I left the institution, I'm saying left in a kind way, the actual word is released, because you are released with a court order from this place. The day I was released from this place at the age of 14, 15, is the day that this lady was also changing her job.
What?
And within a space of 3 or 4 weeks, she passed away. So I believe that God had used my circumstances to bring me to this youth center. And that's why I have no regret of living in institutions, because I can clearly see God's hand leading me. I bear no resentment, or I don't even pity myself, because I believe God led me through all these experiences to bring me to this youth center. And while He was leading me there, He was also leading this lady to work there for me. And after she had introduced me to Christ, she died. Mm. It's as if God extended her life for that period of 2 or 3 years just to make sure that I turn to Him.
Unbelievable. You know, Paul, you're a statistical anomaly, because typically when boys especially start going to juvenile centers that young, that paves the way for career criminals. And
yeah.
And typically they are in and out of correctional facilities basically for the rest of their lives, unless something really, really dramatic happens later on. But here you are, you know, 15, you said, that's when you were released.
Yeah, I was released from this youth center. I've been in and out of correctional facilities, as you also say. But the Lord, in His wisdom and in His mercy and in His unprecedented grace for me, has saved me.
Mm.
And I'm so excited that I am not what others thought I would end up, simply because of Jesus. And when I accepted Him as Lord in my life and I gave Him complete control of my life, it's amazing how God turned my life around. And now I praise Him and I thank Him. And all that I am, and in fact everything that I even hope to be, I know it will only be because of Him. You know, there's a song that says, "Every day with Jesus grows sweeter than the day before."
Mm.
That moment when I accepted Jesus, yeah, there's been times when I strayed away from Him, but His love never let me go. And I can honestly say that every day with Jesus is indeed sweeter than the day before. I have tasted and I have seen that the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever, as the Bible says.
How did you then become a minister of the gospel?
Ah, when I finished school, I had no money, and of course, I did not have an influential family, so I did not have any bursary or anything. But the words of this woman remained with me. It has been my desire ever since Youth Center to become a minister of the gospel. But after high school, I worked on the side of a street corner. You know, sometimes you see at the bus ranks or train stations, these guys working there fixing shoes. I used to work there for over a year fixing shoes. And my classmates used to walk past and be embarrassed that they know me fixing shoes in the corner. They're putting my fingers in dirty shoes. But I was doing an honest job. I spent just over a year doing that. But eventually, I got married to Caroline, the most amazing woman, I think, in my life. And we both decided to give our hearts to Jesus and prepare for the ministry. During the time of my study, the way that God sustained us during the study is that I was selling books as a call porter, selling Christian literature. Through the selling of these books, I paid for my study and the study of my wife.
And that was in the KwaZulu-Natal, Durban area?
No, we both studied in India.
Okay.
So, yes, we were sustained through this work. And at the same time, there were generous friends of mine who helped me to supplement my income so that I can go through college and pass.
Oh. And how long have you been a minister?
I'm a pastor now for, I think, 11 or 12 years.
Mm.
Yes.
Now, in closing, if there's someone who's listening that feels God is, you know, calling them to ministry, but they're also from a meager background, what encouragement would you have for that person?
Dumi, I would very clearly state, God does not call those who are born in palaces alone. When God calls us, He does not look at our circumstances. He does not look at our conditions. He looks at what He can accomplish if we surrender to Him. So if there is anyone in a predicament such as I have been, born in extreme poverty, maybe your parents may not be alcoholics like mine, but you feel that there's no way you can afford to train for the ministry, I would say, what begins in your heart, the Bible says that God would keep together that which is entrusted to Him. If we believe that God has called us to serve Him in full-time ministry, then we must demonstrate that trust and faith and belief that while God is preparing us for the ministry, God is also preparing other people who would be able to see that calling in our lives and provide the means for us to enter the ministry. So the call of God in my life has not been just for me. He has also called others to help me become who I am. So if there's anyone who may be in a situation like I was, poverty, abandoned, and destitute, to remember that we are not alone. God is preparing you for that moment. And God, unseen to us, is working behind the scenes, preparing the way for us, if we would just trust Him and depend on His guidance.
Wow. Well, thank you for your time, Dr. Paul Charles.
Thank you, Dumi. It was my privilege to be here today.
That was Dr. Paul Charles sharing with us his story and all that God has done for him in his life. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Practical Living on your practical station, Adventist World Radio. Do you want to tell the world what God has done in your life? God is alive, And guys, it's up to us to let the rest of the world know that God is alive and is still working today, and that He is the source of all that is. So if you have a story that you want to share, write in, email, tell us that story, and we'll make sure to get it on air, because people need to hear what God has done and is doing for you. The address that you can use, our postal address, is Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, South Africa. The postal code is 7129. I'll repeat that. Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, South Africa, 7129. Our email address is awr@sidmedia.org. That's awr@sidmedia.org. You can also visit our Facebook page, and you get to see some of the presenters there, and you can drop your comments. I'd love to get feedback from you guys. Tell me, you know, what you want to hear on these programs. And, you know, using the Facebook page, you can also talk about what God is doing for you, and would gladly share that. But remember, we need to let the world know that God is alive and working in our hearts even today. Sadly, guys, I need to leave. But don't forget, right here on Practical Living, we give you practical tips and practical advice that if you follow, through God's help, will keep you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Until next time, God abundantly bless you.